Right now at the Rose Museum outside Boston, there is an exhibit that looks at dreams as a form of communal experience. The centerpiece is an artwork called The Dream Bed by the artist Marina Abramovich. Visitors are invited to actually lie down and get cozy in the dream bed for an hour and then record what happened. WBUR Sean Cole stopped in.
Check 1, 2, 3. I'm worried that I'm going to get to the museum and that I'm not going to dream anything. Moreover, what if I can't even fall asleep? So we'll see what happens.
I recorded that around midnight, the night before I got into the dream bed. Then I went to sleep and dreamt nothing, not that I remember. The next day, I went over to the museum, still worrying. Curator Rafaela Plato did her best to be sympathetic.
I wish I could take the pressure off of you. I can only tell you, try to relax. If you don't sleep, you don't sleep. But maybe you will, you know, daydream a little bit or...
Does that count?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
We all dream in one way or another, Plato says, which is the point of the exhibit, that the dream world is communal and that there's a blurrier border between waking and dreaming than we might think. Abramovich's dream bed is just one angle on those ideas. Plato also showed me a room with 200 red silk lanterns hanging from the ceiling, shaped like stars and missiles and TVs and laptops, a dreamtime take on the clash between communism and capitalism in China. She says artists and dream researchers alike are moving away from the Freudian idea of dreams.
From the notion that dreams represent internal truth only, they are also mirrors of societies and of political, social, and cultural events that happen around us.
One piece features a distorted recording of George W. Bush talking about the Abu Ghraib scandal. The sound is straight out of a nightmare. In the room next to that piece is the dream bed. It's really more of a no-frills coffin without a lid. Where the pillow should be is a block of snowflake obsidian crystal, which is supposed to prevent nightmares. An assistant named Nadia was there to help me into my jammies, a puffy, feather-stuffed jumpsuit, complete with a hood, mittens, and booties.
So you get the jumpsuit, you get headphones, and glasses.
Headphones like you wear on a shooting range. The glasses are totally opaque. The jumpsuits actually have magnets sewn into them, which Abramovich believes will increase blood flow to the brain. Still, there was something distinctly Big Bird about the whole affair.
It's like I'm getting into a big Muppet costume. Yeah. Oh.
So let's lead you to the bed.
Right. Gingerly, I climbed into the dream bed, the box, and lay my head on the block of obsidian. The jumpsuit was warm, like being hugged all over by soft rabbits. I spent the first several minutes fidgeting, trying to get as comfortable as possible. I could still hear the drone of the Bush speech through my headphones. Suddenly, I was an illustration of the idea that dreams are linked with the outside world. I mean, here I was attempting to dream in a public space. People may have even been coming and going as I lay there. It's really more of a happening than an installation. Marina Abramovich says the exhibit isn't the bed. It's the dreams themselves.
I think the dreams is like a small art piece, you know. In the dream, everything's possible. You know, you can in one second be in Hong Kong and another second in the moon, you know. And in a way, you have to be more conscious about that, to share with other people an experience.
Abramovich told me that the dream bed is just part of a larger project, an entire dream house she built in Japan. People sleep there overnight and record their dreams in a dream book the next morning. Abramovich plans to collect 50 or 60 of the books into a public dream library. Of course, dreaming is a lot easier when you have a whole night to work at it in a private room, whereas I was just lying in the middle of a museum exhibit. After a while, though, my mind started to drift, and I thought I heard voices. And then I began to discern a long, low, rumbling sound, like an engine idling in both of my ears. It took a moment to figure out what it was. It was me. I was snoring. When the hour was up, Nadia tapped me awake and I walked back into the dressing room and scribbled a few lines in the diary. Something like, I was really self-conscious lying down, I didn't think I would fall asleep, eventually I woke up snoring, etc., etc. It read like a treatment for a Woody Allen movie, especially compared to this one dream I found in the book.
From time to time, I was visited by a small girl. She had cool hands on my sweaty hands.
She looked...
And looked at me.
She had a red sweater and black hair, large eyes, small heart face. I knew I could hear her breath. Once I thought she showed me a white bed.
This is Mary Novotny Jones, a performance artist. She actually teaches Marina Abramovich's work to college students in Boston. She understood the communal idea of the piece right away, picturing the dreamers that went before her as she lay there.
Did their feet fall to one side? Did anybody fill up the hole? Was anybody tall enough? Did anyone open their eyes under the glasses? So I was thinking about that, and that sort of helped me to find that kind of wonderful place where you're sort of at the edge of deep sleep, and so you have a lot of visitations and images.
Whereas I had a lot of nothing. But then, when I went to bed that night, my bed, I did dream, a vivid dream that I was drafted into the military. I told Abramovich about it.
How you explain that you remember that one?
Well, see, that's what I was going to ask you. Was like, do you think that sleeping in the dream bed has an effect on your dreams
definitely,
later?
Definitely, because you see, you start to be conscious once the mind starts working, and you kind of bridge to subconscious, and you could remember it. It's working, but you see, you don't even trust yourself that it's working. You should.
I thought the military dream might just be a one-off, but the next night I had an even more vivid dream that I was attacked by a vicious dog. I wrote the dreams down, and even though they were both nightmares, I found myself looking forward to the next one. It's like they were little ciphers, or as Abramovich said, little art pieces. I called her a few days later and told her how excited I was. She said, "You're my best customer." For Studio 360, I'm Sean Cole.
Dreaming Now is at the Rose Museum at Brandeis University in Waltham, Mass. Until April.